Our scripture reading this morning is Acts 1:12 through 26. When they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, and so they called the field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take up his place of leadership.' Therefore it was necessary to choose one of the men who had been with them the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go there where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So they added his name to the 11 apostles. This is the word of God.
Good morning, my beloved. If you have your Bibles, I want you to keep them open to Acts chapter 1. I'll mention Acts chapter 2. This is sort of a two-part sermon I want to preach, beginning today and then following up next week. Did you ever hear the story of the man who got off of a stagecoach in the Old West? He had been hired as a bartender, the new bartender. And on his first day of work, the owner of the saloon said, "If anybody ever says Big John's a-coming, you run for your life." And he didn't know what that meant. And he worked for several months. No one ever mentioned it. And one day, this big cowboy came in. Ghost white. "Big John's a-coming. Big John's a-coming." Everybody in that saloon, I mean, they went through the windows, through the swinging doors. They knocked this new bartender down. He didn't know what to do. He was dazed. He got up and he happened to look out the window and he saw this man ride up on a buffalo with a rattlesnake for his whip. He came through the saloon, and this bartender's scared to death. And he comes up, and he takes his fist, and on the bar, he hits that bar and splits it right in half. And this bartender's standing there. He said, "Give me a drink." So the bartender does that. He hands it to him. The man gulps it down, and then he belches and breaks the window behind him. And then he starts to walk out the door, and the man's so grateful that he's not killed him. He said, "Is there anything else I can do for you?" He said, "No, I ain't got time. Big John's a-coming." I'll tell you, I've always loved that story when you're going to talk about something big. You know, somebody bigger than Big John's coming. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. You know, it's been a long time since I have just separated him from the Trinity and talked about him. And I feel it, that something big is about to come. You know, we are going through the book of Acts, and I have thought this week about everything that these who had gathered in this room, that Rachel read, the names, including the mother of Jesus, all gathered there, 120, a little group. I was sitting here thinking, "Lord, you've filled my heart so full today that I wish that all of our people were here. I wish we were full today." You know what I felt the Spirit say? "I have here who will make a difference in what you're preaching." God has never done anything big without starting with something very little, a seed, a cloud. Do you remember the prophet praying for rain and sends his servant out, and he says, all I see is a cloud the size of a man's hand, and that's all it took. I thought about those last 7 weeks of these people's lives that we just read about. I want you to think back with me. Let's put ourselves in their place. They come to Jerusalem with Jesus, and people are so excited thinking he's the Messiah. They throw down their clothes as a carpet for him to ride in on that little colt. And they're shouting, Hosanna. And they've experienced that. And then later on in the week, they see that Jesus cleanses the temple. And then one of their own, Judas. Can you imagine? You know, I don't think there's anything worse than to be betrayed by a friend. He betrays Jesus, sells him out, comes with a group, arrests him. They beat him. They see all of this. Now listen, this is all in a period of 7 weeks. You talk about big things. These are big things these people saw, experienced. They see a fake trial at night, which was not lawful. They see him beaten beyond recognition. They see him carrying a cross. They see him nailed to the cross. 3 days later, he is alive. For 40 days. Now, all of this in a period of 7 weeks. For 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus appears to several of the disciples, and he teaches them things about the kingdom. I wish I knew what those things were. I'm sure that the Holy Spirit has planted those in the New Testament. And then another big thing, the ascension. He gives the great commission, and then he is lifted into heaven. Listen, folks, all of this within 7 weeks. Big things. But you know one of the biggest things is yet to come? Pentecost. Pentecost changes everything. You know, today is Pentecost Sunday. June the 4th, millions of Christians are celebrating Pentecost Sunday today, 50 days after the resurrection. I went back. I wanted to give you just five things for you to know about Pentecost. It makes the day the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles part of our church calendar. It occurred 50 days after Easter. It comes 10 days after the Ascension. Pentecost is known as the birthday of the church. And in Western churches, Pentecost is usually represented with the color red, which symbolizes the fire of the Holy Spirit. These banners were supposed to be blood red today. Somebody didn't get the message, and I tell you, Ryan Heritage in Washington, he will be more red than those banners. Because I had told him, I'm going to mention this. He said, I've got it covered. They will be up. Now, you're seeing red, aren't you? Red. Today is Pentecost, and red is a color. Lisa, stand up. Where are you? My piano player. There you go. You saw her. She knew. And I sat back there, Lisa, and I said, Lisa, you have saved the day, girl. I appreciate that. June the 4th. So my sermon today is really next week is the text of the Pentecost, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today in preparation for me to read that scripture. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, next week. Now, I want to give you the main takeaway of what I'm going to preach today, so you'll already have it. And this is this. We can only do what God has called us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way it's going to be done. I want you to look again with me in chapter 1 of Acts. These are important verses, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, that's Jesus, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Oh, folks, listen. The Holy Spirit is the greatest gift other than Jesus, I would suppose, we've gotten. For the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Do you see the pattern there? We do nothing for God unless it's in the power of the Spirit. We must wait until the Spirit moves us in a very special way. I'm going to talk about power today. In all of Acts, we're going to see this as we go through the book of Acts. The church ministers with power, always. That word is an important word in the book of Acts. Let me pick out just one verse, Acts 4:33, where it says, with great power, not just power, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Now, I want to ask you something. Are y'all with me? Are you with me? Is this same power available to us today? The very same power that we read about here, is it available to us today? Do you believe it is? Do you believe it's for us at Trinity Baptist Church? Do you think we need power here? How many of you think we need a good dose of power? That's what I want to preach about today, that same power. I want you to remember some words from a verse in Zechariah 4:6. In fact, I think we've got a slide of it, Zechariah 4:6. I want you to write this down in your Bible, that verse. Not by might, nor by power, that is our power, human power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I want to say something. I'll be honest with you today. What we're seeing today is such a decline in the Christian church. We're plateauing. Folks, I want to tell you, let's be honest about Trinity. We have plateaued. In fact, we are moving backwards. We've had a lot of people die. Good people, faithful people. We've had people move away. We had people get mad and leave. We have gained wonderful new members. But we're sort of at neutral. And you know what? I have always encouraged you to pray, God, send us people that we need who will help us be all that we can be. I still believe that's a good prayer to pray. And I have in my own mind thought that, you know, something that is going to move us out of complacency in this plateau is if more members come and we fill this place up. And you know what God has told me this week? Without a doubt, I know He has told me this. What you need to pray for, son, is not more people, but more power. Power of my Holy Spirit. Because I want to tell you what. God's got to deal with us before He does anything else. Us. I read a list a man wrote, James Rutz. He lists what he sees as the 10 greatest problems or challenges in the Christian church in 2017. Let's see if you agree with him. I'll list all 10. Apathy, shallowness, worldliness, failure to support the church financially and give to the work of missions, pastoral burnout, teenage dropout, fear of sharing the gospel, flabby self-discipline, maxed out schedules, and a chronic shortage of strong, committed members. I wrote over, under that my own words, to be healthy, we have to be honest. You know, if I go to the doctor and the doctor is not honest with me, I'm going to die. And you, as the flock of God here, if we don't just bring it to the table and talk about it here, and that's why I really believe the Holy Spirit led us to the book of Acts, because He wants to do a great work among us. He's tired of seeing us flounder around, and He wants to be involved. He wants to work. But we've got to be serious. Do we want Him to work? Are we willing to allow Him to work through us? The book of Acts will teach us that when we're relying too much on ourselves, then we're not relying on God. You know, I've been in so many business meetings, finance meetings, personnel meetings, and it is all built around, it seems to me, the bottom line dollar-wise. I mean, we do what the dollar will allow us to do. Well, I'm here to tell you, we're going to do more than what the dollar allows us to do. And God's going to do more. He wants to work in our lives in a special way. And folks, I want to tell you something. My years with you are short. I'm going to be here a short time, but I prayed this. God, don't let me leave or die until I see what you put on my heart happen, that there is a refreshing among this congregation to get them ready for the future you call them to. And that's only going to happen when we turn to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this. Change your entire staff. Take every one of us. Fire us. Take all the money you have. Hire the best people in the world that you can find. Bring them in here. Get every strategist and specialist you can find on church growth. And I want to tell you, you will do nothing without the Holy Spirit. It is not by strategy. It is not by just getting the best. It is either God's here or He's not. And it makes no difference whether I'm here as your pastor or some other pastor. The most important thing is He's here. And He will work through whoever is here. And folks, I want to tell you, I say this with no arrogance. You are privileged to hear this message today. You're the ones who will change. You're the ones who will take this seed and say, I believe what my pastor, I will pray that a fresh wind will come. I'm tired of seeing my church in neutral. I want it to move forward. And I want us to feel the presence of God when we come in. I want us to come in such a way that we want to kick our shoes off. Because we're on holy ground like Lisa prayed today and sang. Folks, my heart is full. We think we have a future if we do the right things. There's one thing we need to do right, and that's to pray for power. For the presence of the Holy Spirit. I wrote something I want you to remember. I think we have a slide of this. We need more than formulas. We need filling. We need more than plans. We need power. We need more than strategies. We need Spirit. The most important ingredient in anything we do here for us to be healthy and truly be attractive to a lost and dying world is to be here in the midst of the power of the Holy Spirit. To come each Sunday prepared, truly prepared. I wonder how many of us didn't give it a second thought of preparation to meet God here today. We just showed up. Hadn't prayed for the service, hadn't prayed for the... You know, you don't know what it means to me when I walk through and you say, I prayed for you, I prayed for your message, I prayed for your sermon. I just received that and I'm so grateful for that. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we can't blame anybody but ourselves. And I'm not pointing any fingers because everything I'm preaching to me. I need what I'm preaching today more than you do because I'm your pastor. I should be modeling this in my own life and with God's help, I will. Prayer can do what nothing else can do. There is a quote, John Howard Yoder. I've got a slide of that too because I want you to read it with your own eyes. John Howard Yoder, if you'll pull that up. The early church never sat down to strategize her mission, to work out the logic and logistics of it all. The church's mission was subject entirely to the Holy Spirit's initiative. Folks, I'm not saying we don't plan, we don't strategize, but I'm saying our hope is not in that. Our hope is in what God's doing. And I want to tell you, God shows up in ways that we've never even expected. And He'll do that. That's what I'm praying for. God, I want you to do a work in us that we never even hoped to believe that it would happen. Right here at Trinity Baptist Church. Lord, folks, I'm going to tell you, I am pastor of you people, Not any other church, not the Southern Baptist Convention or Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. I am your pastor. And I want you to be everything that God has called you to be. And together, we could change the world. We could touch the world. If you have faith to believe that. You know, Jesus told us to ask for the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? He said in Luke 11:13, I quote, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Folks, I'm ready to ask. Are you? I'm going to ask first. I'm going to ask four more people to stand where you are and ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe on us afresh and anew. Change us. I'm going to ask two women. Vicki Reed, if you'll stand first, and then after her, Anna Thompson, I want you to stand. And then Roger Birch, I want you to stand. And then Ken Frazier in the choir. All five of us are going to pray. Vocalize what I hope you're praying in your heart. Would you pray? Oh, God. God. Forgive us for playing with you. Forgive us for wasting our days on that which is passing away and will mean nothing to us in the kingdom come. Oh God, help us get our priorities in place. Holy Spirit, please come. Come in ways that will just shock us, surprise us, scare us. Oh, scare us, Holy Spirit. Do something here that will scare us. And Lord, let us live to see this. Let us celebrate it together. And use us, Lord. Come to empower us for ministry. Oh, we pray this in the name of the one who promised you would come and told us to ask that you would come, our Lord Jesus. Vicki. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen.
from your word gives us the evidence of the Holy Spirit coming upon the people at Pentecost. We thank you for the unpredictability of it.
Yeah.
And Lord, we pray today that we hear about what you are doing worldwide and how lives are being changed. And Lord, I'm hungry. I'm ready for the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in me and in the body of Christ here in Trinity.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we ask, and we know we're asking aright when we ask for you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to be quiet and wait upon you.
Yeah.
And not to move until we know that we have heard from you, Lord.
Yes.
We ask for your will to be done in us and in our church, in this community. Something that no one can explain.
Yes.
But your Holy Spirit would do a work and to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might be honored and glorified.
Yes. Amen. On your worship guide, I put a quote by a man that has been used by God in a way that he was a man who knew the Holy Spirit. I want to share. He said that you can read it on the front of your cover, on front of your cover. That's not it. It's another one. This is by A.W. Tozer. That quote saying basically that 95% of what we do is in our own power. And if we could continue doing what we do, 95% of what we do, we could continue doing without even the Holy Spirit showing up, because it's all what we're doing. This is what he says that I did not quote for you. But I think it is prophetic. This man has been dead and with the Lord for a long time, but he left writings that are still challenging the church. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says. He says, "It is possible to run a church in all of its activities without the Holy Spirit. You can organize it, get a board together, call a pastor, form a choir, launch a Sunday school. You get it all organized, and the organization part is not bad. I'm for it. But I'm warning about getting organized, getting a pastor, and turning the crank. Some people think that's all there is to it. The Holy Spirit can be absent, and the pastor goes on turning the crank, and nobody finds it out for years and years. What a tragedy, my brethren. What a tragedy that this can happen in a Christian church. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you could increase the attendance of your church until there is no more room, if you could provide everything they have in churches that men want and love and value, and yet you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you might as well have done nothing. For it is not by might nor by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord." That is prophetic. That is the word that Trinity needs to hear. And I love all the other churches. My main concern is you. You. If we're honest, we really believe that if change comes, it'll come through us in our own power. That's why we're studying, thinking, what can we do, attract people. You know, some churches, they'll bring a circus in to get people, anything to get a crowd in here. Folks, what we need is not just a crowd. We need the Holy Spirit, who will take care of the crowds. And I'll tell you another thing, folks. Big is not always good. Most of the churches in America today have less than 200 members, but we think that we have to have these gigantic churches everywhere, and we're not successful if we're not. How many people did God start the church with? 120. We got that many in here today. And what could he do through us? One, and I'm winding down. Hey, listen. Almost every chapter in Acts, 28 chapters, almost every chapter talks about the church praying and asking God for something. I am so glad that we are working prayer into our services again, where we corporately pray together. Let me just give you an example. Chapter 3, a man is healed through prayer. Chapter 4, being persecuted, the church prayed for boldness in the midst of the persecution. Chapter 6, the apostles say their priority is the word and teaching it and preaching it and spending time and praying and fasting. That's when deacons came about. They prayed then. Stephen, when he was being stoned, prayed when he was dying. Peter and John prayed for believers in Samaria, and they received the Holy Spirit. Chapter 10, an angel appears to Cornelius as he is praying. Folks, we got to get back to praying as a church, individually and corporately. You know why we don't have? We don't ask. That is biblical. You have not because you ask not. John Piper is a Baptist, a very Calvinistic Baptist, but I love him dearly. He touches me. I want to believe as deeply as he does. This is what he says. One of the signs that God is going to do a great work is that he begins to stir up his people to pray for it. He lays a burden on a person here and a person there. He brings it back to their mind again and again. It stalks them. It drives them to their knees. It catches them on their knees. When God aims to do a great work, the first thing he harnesses is the power of prayer. He starts by planting the spark of desire in a few hearts. Then through prayer, he fans it into a flame. Then the flame of desire and faith spreads to others. Soon large numbers are on their knees imploring the great work. Then God acts. Then he pours out the blessing. God loves to do great works of redemption, but even more, he loves to do it in answer to prayer. I want you to promise me something. You will not let this day go by till you pray about what we've talked about in this service. That when you have lunch today, wherever you are eating, and you ask a blessing, you'll pray about what we're talking about. Folks, I want to tell you, you're the ones who have received the message. I truly believe that out of this group today, a few will catch the flame. And then hopefully, over the course of months and years, we'll contaminate more. That is my goal. Last week, Patricia and I went up to Kentucky just to get away, the two of us. No children, just the two of us. Went to Shaker Village. I don't know if any of you have been to Shaker Village. I was so impressed by this group of Christ followers. And we sat and listened to their theology. There are only two of them left because they did not marry. They were celibate. But their theology is as brilliant as it is beautiful. They believe that all work is worship, regardless. If you're a brain surgeon or if you sweep the floor, that's work and it's worship. And the brain surgeon is no better than the one sweeping foot because all work is worship. And that spirit of humility here, folks, you know, chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You ready to do that? Will humble themselves. And that's the first step. And seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways, because you can't do it on your own power. You have to seek his face. He'll give you the power to turn from your wicked ways. If my people call by my name, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'll heal their church. I'll forgive their sin. When we got home last week, of course, we heard about the storm. We called. The lady takes care of our little doggies. Said, you haven't had power for 3 days. And your food is spoiling. It's running out. Bless her heart. She cleaned it up. We got home. And we had just gone to the grocery store before we left. Freezer full of good stuff. All my protein ice cream, all of it just melted away. Nasty. And you know, I was thinking about that this week. There's life with power and there's life without power. I want the power. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing our hymn of commitment. And I want you, if you are truly one of the few who God has spoken to, that you will take this message seriously. Either today, bravely coming down and saying, Pastor, I'm with you. We will pray. We will ask God every day for the Holy Spirit for Trinity Baptist Church. But let me know, okay? Let God's work be done in here. Oh, Holy Spirit, as we stand and sing this song, may you have free will in our thoughts. Bring us back to this service. Help us to know that we're hearing the most important thing we need to hear right now. It will make a difference. Clay, thank you for filling in for Ryan. Would you come and lead us in this song?